Good morning, family. I'm going to ask you this morning to take out your other hymn book. It is a hymn book that's found about in the middle of your Bible. Open up to the 42nd Psalm, if you will, and we'll be reading from that chapter this morning. I'm going to ask you this morning to get excited about your relationship with God. And you know, that's sometimes hard to do in this very troubling world that we live in today, but I'm going to ask you to rise above. I'm going to ask you to look at this psalm with me this morning. Again, it's Psalm chapter 42, and I'm going to give you some encouraging words today that may help you through times of difficulty that you often may go through in life. I'm guessing that if I were to engage in a survey in this audience this morning, and I was going to ask you, what is the one major problem that you are facing, I would venture to say that probably a good majority of us would say, to some extent, one way or the other, that we're going through, many times, times of depression. We often include, in fact, in our prayer requests, some people will write down, they'll say, going through personal issues or personal problems. And that just might, again, be their way of saying, I'm having some difficulties in life that are getting me down, that are making me depressed. Depression is a part of that. Depression hits all of us at one time or another. We may decide to call it different things. We'd say, well, you know, I'm going through some blues or some mood swings, or I'm having an anxiety attack. And what we're talking about is sometimes very severe depression. We are depressed many times because we get angry at others. We're depressed because sometimes we're jealous of others. Sometimes we're resentful of others. Sometimes we're unforgiving. Let's just admit it. We sometimes hold grudges against others. And because of all these things, we are unhappy. We are depressed because of a lot of different things. We suffer disappointment in life. Sometimes, you know, we're searching or we're going after a goal. We fall short of that goal and we feel depressed about that. Sometimes we have self-esteem issues. Sometimes we look at others and we make unfair comparisons. And we see someone who's doing much better than us in life and we say, how come I'm not doing like, I've put in a lot of effort. I'm not excelling or succeeding in life like that. And a lot of different things come into the equation that make us feel depressed. We set unrealistic goals for ourselves and we get discouraged and we just don't measure up. Some people, even today, maybe in this room this morning, are suffering because of a chemical imbalance in their bodies. And because of that, sometimes we need to take medication because of that. I think sometimes we lean too much on that, but certainly that is a possibility. But there are a number of reasons that we get depressed. And maybe some of you this morning, maybe in the past, maybe even today, and maybe yesterday. Maybe you go through times when you're trying to, can we just say, talk yourself out of it. You know how you have that little pep rally within, that little dialogue within your mind where you're trying to get yourself to, we say, snap out of it, to get with it, you know, to try to overcome this problem, to get it in gear and try to rise above and be the victor that God wants us to be. Maybe some of us try to talk ourselves out of it. I think that's kind of what the psalmist was doing in this 42nd Psalm, primarily in verse 5 when he says to himself, says, why are you cast down, O soul, O my soul? He says, and why are you disturbed within me? He says, hope in God, for yet will I praise Him for the help of His countenance. Though it may sound strange to have a conversation with your soul, hopefully you don't move your lips while you're doing that so others are watching you, but you're in your closet, your prayer closet, you're in some quiet room and you're having this dialogue within and you're having a conversation with your soul. And I want to suggest to you today that that's actually a very healthy thing to do. In essence, you're praying. You're praying to God. If you're a child of God, You're having a conversation with yourself, but God is in on that conversation. It's a very good conversation because, as the psalmist says there, you are trying to kick yourself in the tail, as it were, and telling yourself, listen, you need to hope in God. That's what he says in the psalm. You need to hope in God. You need to praise Him for the help that only He can give. I want to give you some help this morning from the Word of God. Some help, I think, that will encourage us all to get through those times of depression. And as we say, I'm going to use the expression this morning, get with it. And I'm going to give you six. I don't usually have 6 points in a sermon, but I'm going to give you 6 points that you need to get with it. First of all, you need to get a new approach, and we'll talk about that as our first point this morning. Secondly, we're going to see that you need to get into the Word of God. And I'm glad you're doing that here this morning. That's an important get. You need to get into the Word of God. Number three, you need to get rid of daily grudges. We'll talk about forgiveness on that one. Number four, you need to get excited about life. There's plenty to be excited about. Number five, you're doing it right here this morning. You need to get with other Christians. That's very important if you're going to get with it. And finally, number six, you need to get something nice or do something nice for someone else, and that will help you to get with it as well. Again, I hope you have your Bibles open to this 42nd Psalm that we're going to consider this morning. But I think that one of the things I want to share with you about getting with it is you need to begin, first of all, with getting a new approach. If you've tried old ways to deal with your issues and you haven't gotten a good result, you're not going to get better results unless you get a better way to deal with it. The first thing you need to do is get a new approach on this disturbing and depressing moment that you're going through. And I believe that as Paul, and by the way, he wrote the book of Philippians, as we all know, while he was in jail, okay? And he says to himself, and really to us today, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With Christ's strength in your life, do you believe that you can do all things? I tend to believe God's Word. When it says here that through Christ we can do all things, I'm a believer in that. I'm in on that. I want to get behind that idea. And you know, when I talk to people and I hear this phrase, I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good wife. I can't discipline my children. I can't get off drugs. I can't forgive someone. I can't overcome my past. And when I hear those words, I cringe, because I believe God's Word tells us I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we say, I can't do something, that is a lie from the devil. It says right here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're saying today, I can't do something, let me encourage you to change that I can't to an I won't. That's the reality of it. You're saying, I won't. I won't do this. I won't make this change. You're really telling yourself, I'm just being stubborn about it. Because God says, listen, I'm giving you the resources. I want you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The Bible does not lie. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. See, the reality is that same risen Lord, the one we sang about in the song when we sang that song before the Lord's Supper, that Lord, that Jesus that raised from the dead, God gave Him the power. Through God's power, He raised Him from the dead. That same resurrection power resides in you. That Christ that was raised from the dead, He lives in you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. That is, you have Holy Spirit power. You have the Spirit of God within you. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, do you need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? Let me tell you something. You need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart, okay? You need the Holy Spirit to do anything in this life. And that same Spirit that gives you the ability to do things will give you the power to overcome your depression if You make the choice to let that powerful spirit dwell in you. A Christian who is depressed is depressed. Let me just say it strong. I know some of you are going to disagree with me, but a Christian who is depressed is a Christian who is chosen to be depressed. I mean, unless there is some kind of chemical imbalance within you, and if that's true, get the medication, pray about it, work on it, eventually get off that medication, but maybe that's something you need to do, but you need to realize that in this depression, you need to get a new approach. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So get a new approach. And secondary to that, you know, if you believe that Christ can empower you, you also believe that His indwelling Word, which is powerful, also can help you get over depression. So what you need to do is not only get a new approach, you need to get into the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman saints in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, God has a will for your life. He wants you, through the power of His transforming Word that dwells in you, to not go with the flow and do and conform to the world, but put that Word in you so that it'll transform you, so then God can say, listen, through your life and through what you did and through my powerful Word in you, you are proving my will. God wants His will to be proven. And He's put His Word within you, the transforming power of the Word in your mind that can change your circumstances, that can help you to get with it. Here, I have a question for you this morning. Who or what is controlling your mind today? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it Hollywood? You know, some of us, we sit there too much time in front of the media and TV and all that. We fill our minds with the garbage that comes across on the TV screen. So we're taking in sex and violence and all kinds of other things. Listen, your mind is kind of like a computer, and that is trash in, trash out. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will not live in a trash dump. He'll not stay there. You need to get out those things that are unholy so the Holy Spirit can truly have residency and power in your life, transforming power, so that you can do the things that God wants you to do, prove His will, and get out of the depression that you're in. The Bible is warning us right here. Did you see the warning in the first part of that verse? He says, do not be conformed to this world. That's something we often have to emphasize in our minds. I'm going to resist going with the flow, doing what the world does, conforming to its practices, and I'm going to let God's transforming Word dwell within me. If you're in the Word, and the Word is in you, then you will be renewed. And I want to tell you something. When we talk about you being renewed, a renewed person cannot be depressed. You see, God's Word transforms you, gets you out of your depression. So again, I ask the question, who's in control of your mind? You know, we worry, we stress over things, we get depressed. What does the Bible say? Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And he says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is praiseworthy, he said, meditate on these things. You see, that's good stuff in, good stuff out, versus garbage in and garbage out. We're controlling our minds with the power of God's Word, letting our minds be transformed. So, get a new approach, number one. Secondly, get into the Word of God. Now, my next one here is going to be maybe a little bit more of a challenge for us. Because I don't know why it is it's this way, but it seems to be that There's something within the human psyche that we like to hold things against other people. We like to hold grudges. So my next get is, after you get a new approach and you get into the Word of God, you need to get rid of daily grudges. Have you ever had a day when you felt like you were holding a stick and everyone around you looked like a piñata? Kick yourself. Hit yourself over the head with that stick when that happens. Because that kind of thinking, that kind of approach to life is very destructive to you. People can really get me mad. I'll just make a confession right now. People can really get me mad, but they don't have the right to keep me mad. See, the Bible says, gives you authorization with anger right here. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, he says, be angry. You know, we'd like to just stop right there, right? Be angry. Yeah, I get angry. He says, be angry and what? Do not sin. Well, I thought those two couldn't go together. Anger and not sinning? Well, yeah, he says, be angry and do not sin. And then he goes on to say, what does he say? He says, don't hold on to the anger. He says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And when you do that, what happens? Look at the rest of the verse. You give place to who? The devil. See, you can say, I'm really mad about this. Then get over it. Take it to God. Lay it before Him. Pray to Him. Get rid of it. Stop being angry. And guess what? The devil doesn't get a foothold in your life. You know, we're going to get angry. That's just, Jesus got angry. You know, that's a natural emotion. How we process it, how we deal with it, how we eventually get rid of it so we don't hang on to it and destroy somebody with it. That's what's at issue right here. We've got to forgive people. If I get angry at someone, I have not sinned. It's only when I stay angry. Only if I hold a grudge. And that's what eats me up. That's what gets me frustrated. And eventually, that's what gets me depressed, you see. Forgiveness is often a vital part of the process of defeating depression. If you want to defeat depression, you really got to deal with this issue of forgiveness and not holding grudges against other people. Ask yourself right now, am I angry at someone right now? Is there some kind of bitterness that I'm holding towards someone else right now that's blocking my joy, block and keeping me depressed? Have I let the sun go down on my wrath? I want to tell you this. If you don't do your honest best to try to make peace with someone else that you might be at odds with, if you don't do that, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says that when you do that, when you don't try to make peace with someone, it says a root of bitterness will spring up in you, and it will cause trouble, and it will cause you to be defiled. Or can I say this morning, it will cause you to be depressed. Defiled, depressed, destroyed, whatever. It will defeat you. That bitterness. See, roots, when they go down deep enough, they go out as well. And they grow and they produce fruit. And it's not a good fruit. It's bad fruit. A root of bitterness that will defile you and will cause trouble for you. You've got to ask God to remove that wrong that you're holding against someone, to forgive them. You've got to try to make peace with them. Grudges sometimes stay with us, and we've got to get rid of them. I want to go to my fourth point this morning. We said you got to get a new approach. You got to get into the Word of God. You got to get rid of grudges. Number four, and this is one of my favorites, you've got to get excited about life. You know, God is watching you right now. And He's placing a lot of resources in your life for you to be joyful about. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about the hope of heaven that you have, the forgiveness of your sins, the removal of guilt, the ability to have peace within yourself, the ability to feel good about your relationship with God. Those are things that you can get excited about. And right now, He wants you, as a result of those resources, God wants you to give life your best shot. Not just to get up through every day and just muddle through the events of life, but to actually get into it in such a way that you get excited about the details of life. God has blessed you with so many things. And here, look at this text here. Here's the wise. What do the wise man say here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9? A depressing book, by the way. But he says here in chapter 9 and verse 7, he says, "Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart." That's in the Bible. Did you see that? "Drink your wine with a merry heart." He says, because God has already accepted your works. You see, if other people don't like you, they're not doing what you want, they don't like what you're doing, don't worry. You be happy with what you have. You see, God, you can know that God has accepted your works when you're following Him, right? He goes on to say, watch this. He says, "Let your garments always be white." I should have wore a white suit this morning, right? "Let your garments be white." He says, "And let your head lack no oil." He says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your" what? You follow me? Your short life. See, you got a short life here. You got to enjoy it while it's here, because it's going to be gone pretty soon. He says, "Whatever your hand finds to do," he says, "do it with all your might." This says do it with your might, but all some translations say do it with all your might. See, God's blessed you with a lot of different things. And he says right here, I mean, this is the command. He says, "Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine," he says, "with a merry heart." There are plenty of you who have, in fact, wonderful spouses. Grab a hold of your spouse. Put your arm around. Say, "I love you." We've got marriage class we're offering now. And we want you to enjoy your spouse. You shouldn't have to endure your spouse. You get to enjoy them. You get to get excited about that. You should praise God for that wonderful woman you have. Right, ladies? Oh, I heard so. That's right, she says. Of course. Now, see, it didn't say that in the Bible in this verse, so wives, you don't have to get excited about it. No, I was going to say, we all should be, you know, we say, what is it, happy wife, happy life. And of course, you know, the alternative is happy spouse, happy house. That's what we ought to be saying, right, guys? Happy house, happy spouse. Yeah, we got to get excited about your job, get excited about your career, about your children, as much as they might drive you crazy. Get excited about life. You know, the word, I love the word enthusiasm. I probably said this many times before, but I'll say it again. The word enthusiasm, where it comes from, you know, E-N is the first part of the word enthusiasm, E-N, which simply means in. Thusi is from the Latin word, from the idea of God, which is theo. So it's in God, enthusiasm. It means in God-ism. You see, that's what's going on in your life right now. It's a God thing. You've got an in God-ism. It's not a disease, okay? It's something to be joyful about. Enthusiasm. God is in you, and it's something to get excited about. See, that makes the Christian different. Because what the world is doing today is they're getting excited and they're getting happy. We use the word happy. They're getting happy about what is happening around them. You are joyful or enthusiastic because of what is going on inside you. Even when things outside are not happening the way you want them to, and you're not happy about that, you can be joyful inside because you have enthusiasm. You have God in you. And if God's Spirit is in you, act like it. Get excited. Remember Paul, that jail letter that he wrote, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4? He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Again and again and again. The wise man Solomon, he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 25. He said, "Who can have enjoyment without God?" You can't. Oh, you can have entertainment without God. The world will provide that all around you. You got entertainment, but no one can have enjoyment without God. And the reverse of that is true, is if you have God, you have every reason to be a joyful Christian. Number five, we've said get a new approach, get into the Word, get rid of daily grudges, get excited about life. Number five, get with other Christians. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed." Depression is contagious. Did you know that? You've heard the old expression, you know, how can you soar with the eagles when you're flying or when you're walking around with the turkeys, gobbling with the turkeys, however that goes? That's just so true today. Hang out with other Christians who are joyful, who are encouraging. Isn't those the kind of people you want to be around? Because they exude that. It's like you caught a bug, you know. When they're happy, you could be happy too. And especially when you see them going through trials and they still have this big smile and they're excited about their relationship with God, and you're saying, "Oh, I should be joyful just like them." Upbeat, encouraging people, those are the ones you ought to be around on a very regular basis. If you are a companion of fools, it says right here, you will be destroyed. You see, the truth is, you become like your friends, whether you intend to or not. So hang around good, positive, healthy Christians, and it will help you to get with it. Finally, number six, you need to get something nice for someone. Depression in life is often caused by an over-concentration of yourself. You're looking at you, everything that affects you. You're looking at your problem, your struggle, your jealousy, your anger. And when you're only concentrating on you, I'll tell you what, it's like a downward spiral, okay? It's just going to get worse and worse. So what you need to do is you need to get outside of yourself. You need to put your mind on the joy of someone else. When you have in your heart and in your mind that you want to make someone else happy, I can guarantee you it's going to also make you happy. When you're able to go with someone on visits to other members, maybe you go to a nursing home and go visit someone. When I was doing jail ministry, boy, we'd have our members go in there with us. They'd write letters to the people. And oftentimes when they'd sign up for jail ministry, I have to tell you, I recognize some of those Christians were, well, they just weren't happy. They looked like they were depressed. And then when they got involved in the jail ministry and they were with and trying to encourage others, I see that it brought them out of their depression. It's very important that we get outside of ourselves. You see, when you give joy, you receive joy. Jesus said what? It's more blessed to give than receive. Because when you do give, you also, in some way, receive. If you give, you receive. But I'll tell you what, if you've always got your hand out wanting to receive, guess what's going to happen? You skip the giving part, and therefore you really can't receive in a healthy manner. Jesus said this in this is the Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. He said, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom." He says, now watch this, "For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, of course, we know that you don't give to get. That would be the wrong motivation I'm just going to give because then I'll sit back and watch and see if I get something out of this. That's not the right motivation to give. But God makes it happen. Because you don't, when you give to others, let me tell you something in this verse right here. When you give to others, you don't make them indebted to you. But when you give to others, you make God indebted to you. Not because He has to be, but because He chooses to be. He says, "You give, and I'll now be your debtor. I will make sure that you receive. In fact, you're not just going to get a little bit of what you gave. I'll pack it down. I'll make it overflow in your bosom." That's what Jesus said here in the Sermon on the Mount. God becomes your debtor. He becomes the one who will measure it back to you. Well, I hope that we all got something out of the message this morning. As we've been talking about get with it, I hope you got something out of the message. Perhaps the greatest reward that we'll ever get through all of this is that we will get with it, that we will get out of depression. So let's think about that. Happiness, I want to say something about happiness. Happiness is a choice. It is not a result. Did you hear me? Happiness is a choice. It is not a result. We're always result-oriented. Oh, let's see if I do this, what will I get out of it? Let's see if the result will be happiness. Don't look at it that way. It's a choice you make. Happiness is a choice, not a result. Nothing that you do will make you happy until you choose on your own, independent of anything else, until you choose to be happy. You'll never be happy. You've got to make the choice to do that. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Your happiness will not come to you, but it will come from you. People will see you as a happy person. Not somebody always got your hand out. Where's my happiness at? They'll just see that you're making a choice independent of anything else to be happy. And guess what? They'll want to be around you too. And you'll want to be around them. And you'll share that joy together. And it'll be better than happiness. It'll be joy on the inside. So, choose to be happy. Get with it. I have a story I'm going to tell, and then we're going to conclude this morning. I remember the story of these two camels. It was a father camel and a son camel. And they were having a discussion one day, and the son, he was looking around, noticed all the other animals, and the son came to his father. He said, "Dad," he said, "you know, I've got some real questions. I'm not sure about us. You know, I look around all these other animals, and they're just amazing animals. I don't think we're much of anything." Dad, he says, "you know, first question I got," he says, "Dad, why is it that we as camels, we have these really big feet?" His dad looked at him and he said, he said, "when the winds blow out, there's really strong winds that helps us so we don't get knocked over." He says, that's what it is. His dad's trying to make this stuff up, right? Son says, "well," he says, "Dad, that's pretty cool." He says, "we got big feet, okay. Hey, you know what? God really made us amazing, didn't he?" He said, "but I got another question." He said, "Dad, why do we have these really thick eyelashes?" And his dad said, he said, "when the wind blows, it's blowing around all this sand, and the eyelashes keep the sand from getting in our eyes." "Yeah, that's it." His son said, "oh, wow, Dad, that's amazing. God really made us special." He said, "Dad, I got another question, though." He said, "why is it that we have these big humps on our back?" His dad scratched his head. He said, "the big humps, that's where we store up all our water. It's hot and thirsty, you know, wind blowing and dust and everything. That's where we store up our water." "Yep," he says, "that's it." Son said, "wow, Dad, God really did make us special. We are amazing." He said, "but Dad, I got one more question." He said, "with all this equipment that we have," he said, "what are we doing out here in the San Diego Zoo?" We're children of the King. We're in His kingdom. We're not out here in the world of the San Diego Zoo. And God has equipped us to be happy. He's equipped us to be joyful beyond happy, to not be depressed. I hope that you'll take this outline that's in your bulletin today, take it maybe throughout the week and pull it open and say, "boy, I've got to get excited about life. I've got to get out of this stinking attitude that sometimes I have," because children of God ought to be the happiest people on this planet. Amen? The most joyful people. And I know we go through our times where we throw a little tizzy fit and we have a moment of depression, but let's get with it and let's ultimately get with God. As we close this morning, have you gotten with God in terms of your salvation? Have you come to Jesus Christ admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you need Him in your life, that He is God's Son, and that if you'll make a decision today to repent of your sins and then to be baptized into Christ, have those sins washed away, and when you come out of the waters of baptism, I guarantee you'll have a smile on your face all the way to heaven. There'll be times of depression along the way, but eventually with God, we can get with it. Let's stand to sing our invitation.